All right, I want to talk right now about this idea of whether a inmate should plead guilty at his arraignment or whether not, and the dynamics between what happens at that time between the district attorney and usually a public defender. And first of all, I want to say that if you've watched television or listened to the radio, you've heard about some horrendous crime where there's just tons of evidence and everybody's certain that so-and-so shot and killed so-and-so. They might have even admitted it as they were being arrested and put into the police car and taken to jail. And then as everyone waits to see what would happen at the arraignment, which was 3 days, usually supposed to be 3 days after the arrest. And ultimately, we always seem to be surprised that this person would plead not guilty when there's so much evidence, and you just wonder, well, is anybody ever guilty of anything? And that's really the question that I want to kind of address and talk about. Once the accused is standing before the judge, the offender needs to make a plea of guilty or not guilty. If he has a lawyer who he has hired or whether he has been assigned a public defender, he's going to be encouraged to plead not guilty. That's why you never see anybody pleading guilty, because the public defender or the lawyer is going to tell this offender or this accused person that he doesn't know what he's guilty for. And if he pleads guilty, he might be pleading guilty for a crime that he didn't commit. Therefore, no one ever pleads guilty at an arraignment, because really the public defenders or your lawyer will not encourage that at all. If a person wanted to plead guilty and get a sentencing right then, it would just mess everybody up, and the judges are not even really prepared. So they're advised not to plead guilty, because usually the counsel of the public defender or court-appointed lawyer, if that might be the case, will tell the person who is being arraigned, you don't plead guilty because you don't know if you're actually guilty of the crime that you committed, and so don't plead guilty. There may be other circumstances that you don't know about. The police did something wrong, who knows, but they're encouraged, strongly encouraged, not to plead guilty. And so therefore, that's why we see and hear, no matter how guilty it may look that they are, now no matter how guilty they really are, they're not going to plead guilty because they're encouraged not to do so. And so the lawyers want to take time to talk it over with the client or potential client, and make sure that when they go to court, they're going to court on the true allegations or the true offenses that have been committed. Now the problem is that the plea bargaining situation begins to take place shortly after that. The DA's job is to convict the criminal or the offender and prosecute him in the name of the law for the benefit of the state and the community and society around him. So the unfortunate thing is that when a person goes before the judge for their arraignment, the defense attorney is going to tell them not to plead guilty under any circumstances, because they are not familiar enough with the law to know what they're really pleading guilty for. And so they're told not to plead guilty, which they don't. Now what happens after that, in the process, court date is set, and now they're in communication with their lawyer, whether it still be the public defender or a paid attorney. And what begins to happen then is that a plea bargaining situation begins. And so even though they may be guilty for a particular crime, the lawyer is saying, well, we can probably get this down to a lesser crime. After all, you don't want to have a felony on your record, or you don't want to be accused of a particular crime because of the way it looks. But we can probably make a deal with the DA so we can end this thing quickly, and you plead to this lesser charge and get a lesser sentence than what you would get. And so then we're done with it, and everybody's happy. Happy as everybody could be, I guess. But the problem still is that the person who committed the crime has no way to clear their conscience if they want to. Unfortunately, many of the lawyers that defend people are not very ethical in the way that they do what they do. And so therefore, even if a client wants to plead guilty, they will not encourage them to do so. They want to get their clients off. They want to put a feather in their cap as far as saying, well, I got so-and-so off of such-and-such. I'm sure that some of the lawyers are really seeing things that they need to advise their clients of because they're not guilty of certain things, or because maybe, you know, the projective sentence is way greater than what it should be. I'm sure that happens at times, but I've just been in the place where lawyers have just told their clients to lie and such. And so this whole idea of clearing one's conscience is really hard to do, because there's really not a place to do it within the court system. It's just not designed to give you a place to really plead guilty. With that in mind, you know, going into prisons and jails for over, you know, 25 years now, and if you've been in the system yourself talking to inmates, you know, they're going to tell you, I'm not guilty. We hear that as a, you know, a cliche, a humorous cliche, that every prisoner, nobody's ever guilty. I was just watching a movie today with about Joseph being in prison, and when he gets thrown into prison, that's the first things that everybody's joking about is why no one's guilty inside the prison. But really, if you think about it, no one really is guilty of the crimes that they committed. And so when you talk to an inmate and he says, I didn't do it, he's telling you the truth. He didn't do what he got sentenced for. He probably did something of much greater consequence. And so the whole system is set up to such that there is no place for real repentance to take place. And that's a sad thing about our system. And so I think when we talk about rehabilitation, I think one of the main points of what true rehabilitation is the system or a society giving a person the real opportunity to repent and the real opportunity to pay or do restitution for the actual crimes that they committed. Because otherwise, there's no real place to clear the conscience. One of the true experiences I went through with a particular inmate was that I had got a request to visit someone who was going to be sentenced in a couple of weeks, and they were really bothered by the situation. So I went down to talk with him. And the situation was such that he had been charged with murder of his wife. Now, it took me several visits to get through all the stuff that we had to get through to get the whole story. But basically, his dilemma was that he didn't know if he should plead guilty for murdering his wife or not. And the story that he told me was basically he did admit that he did stab his wife, but he had a problem because when the paramedics took her away in the ambulance, she was still breathing, and I suppose she died on the way or at the hospital. And so therefore he was in a dilemma on whether he should plead guilty to murder, because he was wondering if the paramedics did something to her, you know, on the route to the hospital. It's really amazing to me how some people can just throw things out of their conscience. And so we as ministers to men and women incarcerated and representatives of the gospel and of Jesus Christ need to help these men and women as best as we can to get to the place of really dealing with guilt. Because even in this man's situation where he didn't want to plead guilty, you know, he needs to somehow come to the place where he can repent from the sins that he committed. And we need that in a society, or we're lost. I remember, you know, the story right now of Cain and Abel, how God came to Cain and he asked him, "Where's your brother?" And Cain, instead of admitting that he had killed his brother, he just responded, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And, you know, God was giving him an opportunity to repent, but he didn't want to take that opportunity. And later on, or shortly after that, God says, "Cain, why are you angry?" And he still is working very graciously with Cain to get him to come to the place of repentance. Cain finally comes to some place of repentance only when God tells him he's going to mark him, and that all society would know that they couldn't kill him because he was a killer. But that in itself was more of a concern to Cain than the actual crime. He was more concerned that people would think that he was a sinner. He wasn't as concerned that he was a sinner. And I know with my own salvation, I had to wrestle with that when I went to the altar to accept Jesus Christ into my heart. I had to walk down an aisleway. And I remember being in this church that I never had been in before, and it was full of people that I didn't know. And yet God was convicting me to go up to the altar in front of the church and acknowledge that Jesus Christ was my Lord. And I kept thinking, I can't go up there. They'll think I'm a sinner if I go up there. And I was a sinner. But it was interesting. I did go, by the way, and it was a glorious experience. But this problem of dealing with our guilt and the way our conscience fools us on its own, much less having society around us talk us out of being honest with our sin, poses a lot of problems for us as individuals, getting right with God, getting right with other people, but also poses tremendous problems for a society where no one wants to admit what they're really guilty of. And so we need the Bible. We need Jesus Christ's cleansing blood. We need the Holy Spirit to come in and show us how to repent ourselves, and also to lead other people into repentance so that they can have their conscience clear of the crimes that they committed. I'm just amazed at how God does do those types of things in these cases where there's just horrendous sins, horrendous crimes committed. But God can come in and he can change the person, and he can get them to the place where they come to repentance, even to the place where they want to go and reconcile with the person whom they offended. And I think of the Bible, I think of what God has done in people's lives. I think of the reconciliation between Isaac and Ishmael happened at their father's death. I think of the reconciliation that happened with Jacob and Esau. And I think of the reconciliation that happened in the Bible between Joseph and his brothers. And all these tremendous stories, and it goes on and on, how God is able to take situations and reconcile men to men, and men to their families, and mothers to their sons, and husbands to their wives. And so this is our job, is to help God go into these places, in the prisons and jails, and help people find a way to clear their consciences in a right, godly way, so that they can go on and live their lives and become productive citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and productive citizens in our communities around us.